Welcome to the ASReml tutorial, session 3.1, where we're talking about variance structures. The background of this is that ASReml is designed to think about having variance structures other than the traditional identity on a set of random effects. Now, this can be that the random effects are a mixture of different kinds of effects, or they may be the same kind of effect, but a correlation of some form is induced in the process of deriving them. When we think of a variance structure, we are thinking of a vector of numbers and the variances and covariances between all those numbers. So if we have 10 numbers, we have a 10 by 10 matrix. If we have 1,000 numbers, we have a 1,000 by 1,000 matrix as the variance structure. Now, generally, these things have a particular form so that we don't estimate that many parameters, but rather we define a structure for the variance that has relatively few parameters, the simplest structure being an identity scaled. So there's just one parameter regardless of how many things are in the list. Or at the next level, a repeatability model might have a common variance and a common covariance between all the elements of our list. Now, when we think of a variance structure, then we can define two kinds: an unstructured matrix, that is, every variance and covariance is a separate parameter. That's appropriate for small matrices. But if we have a matrix of greater than size 10, it is generally unreasonable to think in terms of an unstructured matrix, except perhaps at a variance matrix where we might say have 50 covariables and want a variance covariance matrix for those, just at a simple phenotypic level. But if we're modelling variances and variance components, it is generally unreasonable to try and estimate an unstructured matrix of order greater than 10. But we have structured matrices where there is a pattern in the structure and there are fewer parameters. One special case is what we call spatial models or temporal spatial models, where we have some kind of distance measure and the correlation or covariance between two points is a function of the distance between them, maybe in one dimension or in two dimension. And these are then parameterized in terms of a correlation and a variance. When we come to ASReml or to ReML in general, we have traditional variance models which just have a scaled identity variance component for each of the terms in the model. And this is the starting point, and we've seen that in some of the examples we've looked at so far. Then we have the general variance structures, whether unstructured or structured. We have spatial models, and this is the order in which we will look at some of these things as we go through this session. Correlation based on distance, parameterized on that basis. And then we have compound variance structures, which are formed as a direct product of other structures. So we might have an identity by an unstructured, or an autocorrelation by an autocorrelation, or a uniform correlation by an identity. Various structures depending on the nature of the example that we're looking at. Well, thinking about unstructured variance matrices first, the parameterization US, the keyword US, means that it's parameterized in terms of the variances and the covariances. And the order that these things are specified in ASReml is lower triangle row-wise. That means that we have the variance of the first trait, we'll say, the covariance between the second and the first, then the variance of the second, the covariance between the third and the first, the covariance between the third and the second, the variance of the third, progressively going row-wise down the lower triangle. Because the matrix is symmetric, we don't need to specify the other half of it. sometimes such a matrix is difficult to estimate, and so we can reduce the parameterization in various ways. And some of the options in ASReml, we might say, well, the covariances are zero and the variances differ, so we use the diagonal model. There's a factor analytic model which comes in various forms, FA, FACV, XFA. In the covariance formulation, the variance matrix is a product lambda dash plus psi, where psi is a diagonal matrix and lambda is a rectangular matrix. So lambda might be simply a vector, or it could be a matrix depending on the complexity of the product that we're forming. And that's a way of constructing a simplified version of a matrix, so that say a 10 by 10 matrix, rather than having 55 elements to specify, we might be able to specify that with 20 elements, 10 elements being in psi, the diagonal matrix, and 10 elements being in lambda. Kolesky factorization, LD L dash, lower triangle unit matrix. It's got ones on the diagonal and numbers on the lower triangle, zeros above the diagonal, and D is a diagonal matrix. An antidependence is basically akin to a Kolesky, but it's parameterized on the inverse scale, has a upper triangular matrix, D upper triangular matrix. So there the elements of D are the inverse of the D for the Kolesky, and the elements of U are the inverse of the elements of L for the Kolesky. The aim of a reduced parameterization is often to overcome singularities or negative definiteness by reducing the number of parameters and producing a model that is going to be positive definite, and in some cases positive semi-definite. The anti-dependence model, which is a generalization of order regressive, is suited to ordered times. So if we have repeated measurements, maybe at unequal intervals, but they are repeated in a systematic way, then the variance at a particular time can be related to what happened previously, plus innovation variance. And that the innovation variance and the regression might change from time to time, but there is still a structure to it, and that's when we use an anti-dependence model, a model where the variance at a particular point depends on what has happened before to a certain extent. Now, the Kolesky factor analytic models are suited to unordered levels. That might be sites where the sites don't have any particular natural order, they're not ranked east to west or anything, or traits where they're different measurements. Continuing general variance structures, the diagonal model has the off-diagonals zero. The Kolesky model is deformed from a Kolesky decomposition, as we've described before. So let's look at the Kolesky 1. The 1 in this case, and the I in the general formulation, says how many bands of the factor L are present, them being defined. And the Kolesky 1 defines the off-diagonal bands. There's another form of this, the Kolesky 1C, which does it in terms of columns. So just looking at col 1, first of all, if we write the L matrix of a 4x4 matrix in this form, we've got 1s on the diagonals, and we've got A, B and C in the first off-diagonal below the triangle. That defines L. So there's three parameters there, A, B and C. D is a diagonal matrix with four numbers in it. So sigma then is or has this structure. If you work through forming LDL dash, you should be able to recreate that structure from that definition of L and D. Now that's a banded matrix, which says that there's no correlation at high lag between the values, which is not a very likely structure, as it turns out. A more likely structure is the col1c, where the parameters that are defined form the first column rather than a diagonal band. And that gives us the structure given here. So we've got the same number of parameters, but the zeros are in a different place, and that gives us a covariance between all of the various parameters pulled together to form a structure. The antidependence, as we said, is a generalization of order aggressive. Its parameterization is fairly obtuse, and so the way that we supply initial values for these matrices is to supply ASRemmel with the elements of sigma rather than the initial values being the actual parameters. And ASRemmel will factorize it into the correct form to give us the model, the parameterization that we want. And then when it reports back, it'll report it back on the scale of the variances and covariances, although it's estimated it on this underlying scale. Now, the factor analytic model is quite closely related to a Kolesky C model, column model, but it's parameterized slightly differently. And there's three forms of factor analytic in ASRemmel. The first form is a correlation form, where the parameters are the elements of L and the elements D. So the parameters that are actually supplied are the diagonal elements of sigma, and the loadings are in the L matrix. L is defined so that its elements are in magnitude less than 1, so that L dash defines correlations. E is defined so that the diagonal elements are become 1 when you add E to it, and D is the square root of the variances to convert the correlation matrix into a variance matrix. Now, the other form is the covariance form, where sigma is lambda dash plus psi. And in this form, the lambda values are lambda is dl from the previous form, psi is ded dash, but it's parameterized in terms of the elements of lambda and the specific variances in psi. The extended factor analytic form uses the same parameterization as the covariance form, but it allows, well, the elements of psi to be zero. In general, this means that sigma might be singular. The way that the calculation is done in ASRemmel, though, requires a special model term, XFA, to be used, XFA of T, I. T is the factor or the model term that is factor that it is based on, so that if you had a set of sites and you wanted to use a factor analytic model for the sites and use the XFA formulation, then you would say XFA open site comma, and then the factor analytic can have one or two or three or more factors, typically one, two or three. And so that I takes the value of 1, 2 and 3, depending on how many factors are in the term. And what this formally does is insert I extra columns into the design matrix for the factors, and solve for the factors as well. And in the singular case, it can then do that calculation with the special algorithm that's in ASRemmel, and that formulation turns out to be considerably faster for a large number of levels of the factor than the factor FA or FACV forms. If we just look an example of this then, here we have a factor analytic XFA on the factor trait interacted with DAM, and we want a single factor to be estimated. So we include XFA trait 1.DAM in the model. Then when we come to specify the variance covariance structure for that, we have the variance, that model term listed. It's a two-dimensional structure that we want to put on it, a direct product of two terms. The first one is XFA trait, 1, and we assign XFA 1 as the variance structure for it. And then we need the initial values. In this example, we've given the variances, the specific variances first, and we've set those to be 0, and then we've given the loadings 1.1 and 0.1 second. So what we're actually fitting here is a model with no specific variance, a perfect correlation between trait 1 and trait 2, but a different scale. When we estimate the loadings then, the solution for those loadings are 1.245 and 1.154. If we square the 1.245, we get the variance for the first trait of 1.55. If we square the second loading, 1.154, we get the variance of the second trait, 1.33. And if we multiply the two loadings together, we get the covariance between the traits of 1.437. And obviously this implicitly has a correlation of 1 because it's just constructed from those two numbers. Similarly, the correlation is 1 between the loadings and the various traits. So we've got a 3x3 matrix here. The first 2x2 portion of it relates to trait 1 and trait 2. And the third column relates to the factor that is the underpinning the factor analytic model. So there are other models then. We've talked about an unstructured model. You can supply a subroutine, my own GDG, which gives the inverse and the derivatives of your own variance structure, and specify that with an own function. The A-inv model term is the A-inverse that's generated by the pedigree. If you want to associate that with a term, then that's the keyword that you use. GIV of I is a user-defined fixed relationship matrix, sometimes an IBD matrix or some other variance structure that has a fixed covariance structure that you know about and you supply, and you associate it with a model term using that term. Well, they're the variance structures. There's another set of structures which are essentially correlation structures or spatial structures defined in ASRIML, and these can be converted into variances by appending variance information to them. But the correlation structures are identity. Matrix has no correlation. Core U is a uniform correlation. There is autoregressive, which means the correlation structure goes from 1 row, row squared, row cubed, row to the fourth, row to the fifth, equidistant, increasing with power of row. Extensions of that for autoregressive 2, moving average, armor, symmetric, autoregressive, and these things are described in the user guide. The core U can be generalized to have banded correlation, or general correlation is a general model which equates to a US, an unstructured model. And then for unequally spaced points, whether time or space, we have exponential, Gaussian, isotropic exponential, anisotropic exponential, Euclidean distance, linear variance, the spherical models, and Matern functions. And these can operate in one or two dimensions. The detail of these things is fairly heavy to go through in a talk. One needs to have an appropriate application, and we'll see some simple applications in the next session. But the correlation matrix needs to be appropriately converted to a variance matrix. Sometimes the variance is implicit, sometimes it must be explicitly included. If it's a common variance, then you will add the letter V, and so AR1V has an autoregressive correlation parameter and a single variance parameter which scales the whole matrix. CoreUV has a correlation parameter and a single variance parameter for the whole matrix. Or append the letter H to allow a separate variance for each level. So AR1H has an autoregressive correlation but a different variance for each one. CoreUH has equal correlation but different variance for each level of the factor. And the way that the correlation matrix is converted to a variance matrix is by pre and post multiplying by the square roots of the variances. Well, I suggest you go and look at the help files and just see how some of these things are written up in the help files and the user guide, just to see where these things are, so that when you need to look them up you can follow through. It's probably useful to read what is in the user guide as well at this point.